I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Welcome back to Angel on Top, a podcast where we watch and discuss every episode of Angel, one by one, spoiler-free, and in tandem with no one. Everything has changed. We're all alone. I'm your co-host, LaToya Ferguson, a.k.a. the comatose chase of the buffering verse, a.k.a. one half of the gun squad. I'm officially filing a TRO against myself for too rigorously ogling, a.k.a. the Gilbert to Morgan Sullivan, a.k.a. daddy, even if no one can remember that, and I so wish they would about now, a.k.a. Captain Forehead, a.k.a. Dear Boreanaz did the thing, a.k.a. even more annoying new nicknames to come.
And I'm your co-host, Morgan Ludich, a.k.a. the Winifred Burkle of the Buffering Verse, a.k.a. the other half of the gun squad. Your Honor, I reserve the right to get my fellow counsel's number. a.k.a. the Sullivan to LaToya's Gilbert, a.k.a. cursed to remember daddy, a.k.a. William Bloody, a.k.a. Mm-hmm. William the Bloody did the thing, and he is my woman king. A.K.A. even more annoying new nicknames to come.
And this week, we're watching Angel Season 5, Episode 10, Soul Purpose. Soul Purpose was written by Brent Fletcher and directed by David Boreanaz. Heard of him? It aired on the WB on January 21st, 2004.
And this is the one where Lindsay and Eve continue to put their dastardly plan into motion. Lindsay's first move, reboot season one of Angel with Spike as the lead. Eve's first move, do Restless again, but worse.
Okay. I mean, with that said, honestly, let me just do WB right now, which is Buffy season 4, episode 22, which I don't know why I did it. I Googled it to check what number it was. Like, I know what number it is. Duh. But yeah, it has 100% less Eve. That was my suggestion to everyone. Yeah, and I had to, like, in my notes, insult myself for looking up the number.
No, you're being thorough. I love it.
Angel is a vampire. Does he even like TV?
I think he'll like the WB.
They got that hot teen drama to ease the pain and trauma. And here's the episode that he needs to see.
Previously on Angel. Nothing. We don't do that here. And you should probably, like, considering the source, considering the context of everything, you probably should have, like, previouslys from season one, some previouslys of Wes betraying Angel, like, maybe some, the way that Eve tries to plant seeds, like, gun at odds with Angel too, like, yeah.
Who Doyle is, for people who might have forgotten.
I remember at the time watching it and remembering who Doyle is, but, like, considering the entire, you know, reboot situation you're trying to do, and, like, you want new viewers here, you should probably tell people. So I'm, like, I'm trying to figure out if they also want the audience, who's, like, the new people to be, like, not know what's going on specifically, or...
I guess I just feel like, I would assume, and again, you know, when you assume, that, you know... You know what happens.
Happens when you assume, Morgan?
God, I don't even have time to explain, but I think it's like you made an ass out of you and me.
No, I think it just makes an ass out of you, really. Why would I be the ass?
I don't know. We're about to find out. But I would guess...
What's that supposed to mean?
I don't know. I would guess that like it's like if you know, you know. And if you don't, like, who cares? Like, we don't want to bog anyone down by trying to tell them there's something they should know about if they, you know, are a new viewer. Which is not good to me. This show's continual forgetting of its
history. I'm curious to know if there are any people who think it's like unnecessary for us to harp on previouslys. But I feel like, especially with a season like this and what's going on right now, this is like it proves the case for why previouslys, especially on like linear broadcast television, like streaming. The reason why you don't have previouslys usually is because they are made in with retention in mind, the binge model, like it specifically ends and so you can go into the next episode. That's why you don't need previouslys there. But like, there's a reason why previouslys were so important for broadcast, even with your episodic, because sometimes you're bringing something back like from like 50 episodes ago. This is clearly a more serialized show though too. So, and for the context of what the Spike story is and just Lindsay's story in general, you kind of have to know what it is.
Yeah, that there's a past there. But we don't get any of that. Instead, we open on Angel.
Well, before we open, let me get through some things. So the Hulu description for this episode is, a mystery man, Christian Kane, approaches Spike to claim responsibility for making him corporeal and blah, blah, blah. So I said in the Destiny episode that they pulled the Julie Benz, Juliet Landau special guest star at the end. They actually don't. He's not credited at all in that episode, nor is he credited in this episode. I want to know the contractual discussions. I want to know how the network let them get away with this, basically.
Yeah, like that sounds...
Because I know a lot of it was trying to keep him being there a secret, but like when it's airing, that's the thing.
It's not a secret if you can see his beautiful face.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't think he was doing this for free. I know he's friends with Boreanaz, but I don't think he was doing this for free.
Look, I bet Christian Kane's a great guy. We don't know what he did.
But also with his number of lines, he couldn't legally do it for free.
Yes, it is true.
So, but yeah, with that in mind, it seems like the show is trying to make us think, is this Lindsay? Because Eve specifically has not said Lindsay's name yet, correct?
I don't think so, no.
So, yeah, they are trying to hide the ball on if he is Lindsay or if it's something else.
Yeah.
There's also, and I note something else later in this episode, is kind of like the season 7 Giles, is he the first? And that's kind of what they're doing here. Yeah. I'm seeing a transcript for this episode which even says, note, this man at the club is the spinning image of Lindsay McDonald from seasons 1 and 2 of Angel, but he has not yet identified himself as such. So it, in the transcript, it's just like a, not even like the script, it's like it's identifying them as who they claim to be.
Mm-hmm.
We should note that Brent Fletcher, who wrote this episode, was the script coordinator on the show.
Oh, good for Brett.
This was, yeah, this was his episode. He went on to work with Denight on Spartacus. He went on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. where he was supervising producer, then co-EP, then EP, and now he's a co-EP on Superman and Lois.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. So, should we call him Lindsay? And I'm not, I feel like I shouldn't be calling him Doyle, but, and also,
should we call him television's Christian Kane?
Yes.
Okay.
100%. Also, obviously, this episode was a big deal, as this was Mr. David Boreanaz's directorial debut. He has since done a bunch of directing on his shows, of which he has many, for many seasons. But this was the first one, and it was a clips from this episode were big for the return episodes promo post Destiny. Obviously, Harm's Way was the first episode back, but that was not in the mix. A lot of it was the build up to the 100th episode. And also, they have the tease fake out with Fred saying, "You're alive." That's in the promo. So I was like, "What? Daniel alive?" I feel like when I watched this episode originally, this is probably the first time I ever like thought about like cast members directing episodes of shows. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's weird. Like I've worked on shows where cast has directed, and like it messes with your season a lot. Like you have to be very careful about the way that you like go about it. Largely, like you make them very absent from as absent as you can from their own episode.
Which is why we had Harm's Way previous episode.
Yeah, and even more absent in the episode before, because that's when the director would be doing their prep.
Yeah.
Which is usually like even more intense than shooting.
I will say this works in terms of like that planning, because this episode also happened post surgery for Boreanaz. He had to fix a left ACL injury, so he had surgery. That's why he's like seated for most of this and like poorly, like not walking well. And like it said, like reconstructive surgery to fix an old football injury. And I'm like ACL.
Yeah,
it was ACL. I'm like, he was probably walking around without an ACL for years. Basically, that's a thing people can do.
Yeah, geez, no thank you.
Yeah. Sometimes people do it with both ACLs, and I'm like, how? I just dropped a phone on my foot, and it wasn't even the bad foot, and I was like, ow, I'm still in pain. That was hours ago.
I'm very worried.
I need to be, like, covered in bubble wrap. That's the thing.
I will do it myself if I need to.
Yeah. And let's see. So this episode aired after Smallville episode Whisper, which is the episode where Clark gets his super hearing.
Oh.
Yeah. He's temporarily blinded by his own heat vision, so his other senses have to work.
Okay, Matt Murdock. Like, let's go.
Okay, also Ice Cream Truck's here, but I don't care. I'm going to keep going.
Fair enough.
And it went against the OC episode The Rivals, which is really getting into the Oliver stuff. Ryan gets suspended from Harbor for punching Oliver. This is also the episode that gives us the classic line from Luke. Well, give me the word and I will drop the Great Gatsby.
Yes. Okay, good. It's good to know about the television landscape at the time. The Oliver arc on the OC. Michael and I have a very long and drawn out theory about how the OC is Batman. Ryan is Batman. Seth is Robin. And most certainly Oliver is the Joker. It is without a question. And yeah, Kevin Bolchuk's Bane.
I don't trust anyone who calls the Oliver arc bad. I'm like, that's peak OC, baby. Every time that is a common belief that the Oliver arc is bad. The Oliver arc gave us Rooney.
Listeners, I wish you could see my face. I am disgusted.
I've never seen Morgan this disgusted, actually.
The Oliver arc is a masterpiece.
Yeah, that's good television, and that's why it got 12.7 million viewers.
Yeah, that's good shit, and that speaks for its fucking self. I'm going to start describing this episode of Angel before I get violently angry.
But also, perfect, because that was the end of the notes, on the pre-episode notes, so there you go.
Perf. So we open on Angel. He is not doing well. He's laying on the ground.
He's gargling blood.
Sense. And yeah, he's covered in blood and he's watching Spike beat him again in Destiny. Spike says, "It's not your destiny, it's mine."
And, do you think Spike sounds like that?
Yeah, that's what Spike sounds like to me. Dream Spike says all his pain was for nothing because this was never about him. And he
You could tell it's a dream because Spike is not beat to shit like Angel is. And we know they were both beat to shit during that.
True. And then Angel's like, and Angel starts burning alive as Spike drinks the Mountain Dew.
He burns like Spike did at the end of Chosen, basically.
Oh, yeah. So in Angel's office, he wakes up. He's all sweaty at his desk.
He is sweaty. He's like me.
Yeah.
He's like me for real.
Yeah, they're just like me for real. We then go to the peppermint stick.
Yes, I call it a broadcast TV strip club.
I felt that this was a terrible strip club name unless it had been Christmas themed all year round.
It's a terrible name. And this place did not seem like divey or seedy at all. I'm like, this seems kind of classy, actually. I kind of want to go there.
Okay, LaToya, there's a Real Housewife of Potomac who denies being a stripper, and she's like, I was a dancer at a restaurant, and I wore a dress down to my ankles, and they serve steak and lobster, and I believe it to be the peppermint stick. So Spike is at the strip club. Mia from Potomac is dancing in the corner. I can only be sure.
Basically, there was a lot of bad dancing happening, like blurred out in the background. So.
Yes, it was just did not feel like a sexy place in any way, shape, or form.
It seemed like a cool place to chill. Honestly,
maybe to chill. Yeah, if you want to know how to depict a strip club, watch Charmed season five.
It was like one girl who wasn't even a stripper. I think she was like just there with her boyfriend and she was like just dancing up on her boyfriend. I'm like, is that what you do?
Hey.
At a strip club?
Why not?
I've never been to a strip club. I'm innocent.
You've never been to a strip club? I've been to a strip club.
No one's ever offered to take me to a strip club.
I was taken there somewhat against my will.
No one wants to go to a strip club by themselves. So, I mean, I have not gone to a strip club.
Fair enough. Television's Christian Kane shows up, as we will be referring to him, since we now don't know if he's Lindsay or not.
Yeah, we definitely don't know he's Lindsay.
And he's got his ponytail and his tats. He's looking real right. And he brings Spike... some drinks, and Spike is like, you're not my type.
Okay, good. And then he calls him Mary. Not good.
And I write in my notes, is there anything funnier than the idea someone might be gay? Like, I'm sick, and I know it's 2004.
Also, Spike, you should be like happy someone as hot as Television's Christian Kane like wants to buy you a drink. How dare you?
Be fucking flattered, bitch. So, Television's Christian Kane tells Spike he thinks he's lost. Spike blows him up. And Christian Kane asks him, "You get any interesting mail lately?" Dun, dun, dun. Ooh. And Spike is like, who are you? And Christian Kane says, I'm your new best friend.
And I write in my notes, good grift. Because obviously, first of all, Spike never worked with Wolfram and Hart. Mm-hmm. He was too dumb to do so when he was like a villain. Mm-hmm. Like, fucking Faith got paid by Wolfram and Hart. Spike, they're like, nah.
We don't need
this guy.
He'll do, why buy the cow? When you can get the milk for free.
And he was a regular on Buffy, so yeah. Also, Spike met Doyle in season one. He never got his name, but he did meet Doyle.
Oh, interesting.
And now for me to bring up an unsubstantiated rumor that is on at least two sites on the internet.
Great.
It's basically that like there was going to be a stripper like giving a lap dance to Spike, and it would have been Kate Lockley. And so here's the thing. I'm like, would she have been undercover, even though she's not a cop anymore? I'm like, is it like their original version of season one's Lonely Hearts was supposed to be like super dark and gritty? Mm. Or would it just be the show's skeeviness to show how far she's fallen? And I'm just like, and they're like, but, you know, Law and Order schedule, like they would have known her Law and Order schedule was still happening. She was still on the show like that. It wouldn't have been a thing.
Yeah. Like, okay.
And also, like, if you're reintroducing Kate, like it can't just be like a one off little thing. Like she has to have an arc.
Yeah.
And also, like, I remember at the time, the Buffy boards were just full of unsubstantiated rumors, like some hit, but most did not. Mm. And like the fact that I can't find a source like other than. IMDb trivia says there was a rumor, and then like TV Trope says rumor. It's literally word for word the same thing. I'm like, this was just another unsubstantiated rumor that wasn't, no.
So this is like the Marilyn Manson had his ribs removed of Angel season 5.
Yeah. Or that Luke Perry was going to show up as Pike in the original series to bridge the gap between the movie and the series.
Okay, perfect. So we come back from titles. We're still at the Peppermint Stick. And television's Christian Kane is taking credit for the amulet.
Yeah. Yeah, this is where I say, and I just for my memory, this episode is strangely plotted because you have all this and then you have all the dream shit.
Mm-hmm. It's very odd. Like, it kind of feels like it needs to pick a lane. Like, it's a very, like, 50-50 episode. And I think it's really jarring.
How do you feel about Boron as his directing for this? Because he's loving to slide on through those scenes, basically, and, like, see how it's all actually connected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that there's some good directorial flourishes going on here. But I was really just, like, struggling with... like, my main note, which I'll say here, is doing a story where it's, like, Angel's in his dreams and his friends are acting a bit off. I'm like, that's the whole season. Like, that's not, like, I've not seen them acting anything but a bit off in a very long time.
I will say, at least, there's one bit I think is... okay on that offness until it was like, well, yeah, it's just Eve, which is Wesley. Like, they basically, the way Alexis plays it, and so I think it might be intentional, it's like, is Wesley actually the one doing this? He's like the one saying, you know, go to bed. He's like the first one Angel sees in his dream and everything. Mm-hmm. He's like, we should leave Angel alone, let him stay up there,
right?
And then all of a sudden, then it's just Eve.
Yeah.
And also, it's like, remember, Wesley was gone for a bit. Like, this could be another fucking cyborg.
Yeah.
Again, that's what I wanted to make the original season 7 Giles comparison to.
That, I think that's very smart. I didn't pick up on that stuff at all. And I was just, I don't know, I was just disappointed in this one. But I'm going to try to find some positives to highlight here. Television's Christian Kane keeps saying we, you know, implying that he's not alone. And he says, call me Doyle. And it's not what I want. It's what you
want.
And
I'm like, how dare you?
I'm like, rude. Yeah, you and I have not really talked about Doyle. I'm a Doyle fan. Tell me all
your thoughts on Doyle.
I like Doyle a lot.
Yeah.
I think Doyle's
tragic. We all cry in his final episode because our rats are low. Got me fucked up.
He's such a fuck up. And I kind of am sad. Like Wes is also kind of a fuck up, but
it's different.
But it's really different. And I miss just like how I was just like how dirtbaggy he was. Like, I really enjoyed that texture being part of the gang, and like everyone else is just like really competent.
And you can't even tell that TV's Christian Kane is like trying to do like Doyle cosplay until later when he has the leather jacket on. Mm-hmm. It's like in the shirt, he just looks like it's Christian Kane out on the town.
I'm like, the star of Leverage.
But yeah, this is where I'm like, it'd be really nice if there were previouslys, because this would require the audience to know about the past. Or maybe they were hoping we were clueless.
Unclear.
I really do not know.
So Christian Kane tells Spike, you've got your life back. What are you going to do about it?
And then I write in my notes, God, Christian Kane's voice, Liz Lemon cat sound.mp4.
Absolutely. in Wolfram and Hart, we pick up with Gunn and Wes. They are at odds on how to deal with this cult leader.
Don't care.
I could not care less. Wes wants to assassinate the cult leader, and Gunn wants to do some kind of like espionage to make like his own people turn on him and kill him. The guy they're after is named Lucian Drake, and he's a warlock cult leader who sold children and is stockpiling weapons. Does sound like a bad dude. rather than go at them directly and risk fallout, because, like, Angel's like, he's a bad guy. Don't we, like, kill bad guys? And they're like, do we? They say, rather than go at them directly, we can go at them covertly. Then nobody knows it was us. It's better for business for us, like, if, one, this player is eliminated, and two, no one knows that we, the supposed bad guys, did a good thing. Angel fucking hates this shit. You know, because he's like, because the motive is half that it's the right thing to do and half that it's good for business. And, you know, he yells at Wes, trying to get him not to say that this is a gray area, because he's sick of that shit. Me too, buddy. Mm-hmm. You could end it.
And in this scene, I especially feel like how much not having kidnapped a baby has changed Wes. I miss Broody Bad Boy Wes.
I miss him so much. It just does feel so
even
weird.
Even though, yes, I called him a little bitch all the time, but that was in the good way.
Yeah. That's a parentheses affectionate. So God and Wes kind of give each other the eye emoji, being like, oh, boss man's angry.
Yeah.
And now that Angel's got some yelling out of his system, he would like to hear more, because he isn't going to do anything about this shit. He's just going to keep going on to get along.
Well, he does, like, this is not yet where he looks like shit with his like baggy eyes, but we're getting there. But yeah, so he says, okay, explain it to me again. Cut to Spike saying he's heard enough. That's where like Boron is like that connective tissue, baby.
Yes, which is very fun, and like they're very good transitions. So television's Christian Kane tells Spike that he is a destiny. Spike doesn't want to hear that shit after what happened at the Opera House. He drank his Mountain Dew. And it was humiliating. Like Spike accuses television's Christian Kane of sending them to the Opera House. And he's like, I didn't do it. And he says he's just doing what they tell me. He's pretending to be like a nobody suddenly saddled with visions of people who need a champion. And now that Angel works for the other side, kind of seems like Spike's that guy.
Yeah, he says Angel's not in the picture anymore. He's working on the other side of the tracks. Nobody is out there helping the people that really need help, which I agree on that last part. Yeah. Like, no one on Team Angel seems to care about that anymore, other than, you know, the one in the coma. Angel pointing out all the, like, the bullshit, the Shades of Grey stuff is one thing, but it's like he's still part of the machine.
Yeah.
And, like, you know what? But at the same time, Eve's one good point this season is that they could close up shop here, but then they wouldn't have this resource anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it does suck. You can't be out on the streets, but also, like, technically, this is useful, Wolfram and Hart.
Yeah, but it's also just like, they used to do it like this and it was fine. But I guess, you know, like, I don't know if Angel can, like, can get out of this given the agreement that he made.
Mm-hmm.
So, television Christian Kane tells Spike he had a vision of a girl getting murdered tonight. Does Spike
want that on his
conscience?
Before he came here, and he has no rush to like tell him.
Mm-hmm. Had a whole conversation.
Yeah, like later Spike's like, there's fucking vampires every corner. So like, was it just like a random vampire? Like he knew that's where they like go, or like did he like pay off that vampire to go like attack someone?
I would bet the latter. So then in an alleyway, Spike finds a girl being attacked by a vampire and saves her.
I was going to say, so the problem with, like, the season's revamp, no pun intended, is that, like, the powers that be haven't exactly pretended that they care anymore. Like, in last season it made sense because it was, like, the All Hope is Lost season with, like, the light being Jasmine. But, like, maybe shouldn't they care, like, what's happening?
Yeah.
Like, their champion is heading Wolfram and Hart.
And they've
Cordelia's in a coma.
Yeah, they've done nothing. Like, it is very confusing. So Spike saves this lady and then goes on.
Yeah, he saves a brunette Tina. Mm. That's the difference between him and Angel.
Yeah, he only saves brunettes. Girls with brown hair.
And now for Kristen's champion to rear his ugly head again. You never letting you live that one down, buddy.
Woof. Spike then goes on to victim blame this woman. And then calls her the R word. Big yikes.
Yeah, he's like, just asking to be attacked, you half-wit and R word.
Yeah.
And moron.
Yeah, a lot of not nice shit being said by Spike. Obviously, he's supposed to look insensitive here, but it's not
he great. Has a soul now, as Buffy told me so many times in season 7 of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
She did.
for him to say, you know, why would you be in this area, blah, blah, blah. The bowling alley bistro was right. It was a nice place. And then it was like right next to the vamp filled bowling alley. Yeah. Like this is you can't be safe anywhere in L.A.
You truly can't. It's like 911 up in Angels, Los Angeles. Disasters around every corner.
Yeah.
I write yikes in my notes in big letters, and Christian Kane shows up and is like, believe me now. But Spike argues you can't throw a stone without hitting some bimbo in trouble.
Are we having fun yet?
Me, yeah. Christian Kane says, you know, he should try not to make the girl cry next time. Now that he's, you know, taking over Angel's calling, being the subtext. Then in Angel's office...
There was something I wanted to bring up here, too. Christian Kane also brings up that, like, Spike usually does good deeds to impress women. He wanted to say a woman, but, like, just women. And he points out, from what I hear, Angel didn't save the girl on his first mission, which Lindsay, of course, would know, because the girl, Tina, was killed by his own client. And here's where I go on a small little rant. I can't even say I'm tired of Spike refusing the call because, like, it's not his call. It's like, it's just not for literally seasons of reasons. It also, like, takes him being bamboozled to try to help people for non-selfish reasons.
Yeah.
And, you know, as much as I hated the grooming thing, I think they did the create a false champion thing better with Cordy and Connor last season. Because the cards are face up here. We know this isn't Doyle.
Yeah.
Unlike there. But, like, what are we supposed to want for Spike here? Because, like, I know I'm more thinking, wait till Angel hears about this. Like, Spike learning he has the wool pulled over his eyes means nothing to me right now because he doesn't care about anything.
Yeah.
Like, Connor was a freaking nihilist, essentially, but he still cared. We still cared for him to know that he had the wool pulled over his eyes. Yeah. The issue, of course, was that he was... like, willingly partaking in that eventually, but still.
Yeah, like, I mean, you have this sympathy for him because he's, like, an easily manipulated child of a hell dimension, raised by an absolutely psychotic melting candle. Like, I had some room for Connor Angel until I didn't. But, like, Spike, who I genuinely like... all of his scenes feel absolutely stakeless to me. Like, what's he going to do when he finds out he was doing good for nothing? Like, I don't care. Go.
He's going to threaten to leave again and not because he's part of the show now?
Yeah, because he's fucking signed a contract. Like, there's no weight to that to me. And it's a real bummer.
The thing is, like, they want him to be, like, the foil the way he was for, like, Buffy season 4. But, like, it doesn't work as well here because so much of it is, like, just don't be here.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing keeping him here, really. Like, truly.
Yeah. Unless, like, you know, like, they could just, like, go all in on him and Fred, like, caring about each other and, like, having a project they wanted to do together and him being like, I'll see this out. Or him and Gunn, because he really likes Gunn. Like, there are people... you could, like, conceivably link him to. But I guess they're deciding to do that with television's Christian Kane. We go to Angel's office. Wes and Gunn are still fighting. Wes calls him Charles, which felt so weird to me. I was like,
I don't like that one bit. I hate that. I'm like, this argument is going on. I hate it.
I'm like, Mom, pick me up. I'm scared. I don't want this. Like, I don't know these people. I'm upset. And this is the part that's not a dream. So Fred shows up.
This is the part that's not a dream.
Later it will be, and it's a scream. So Fred shows up and yeah, she can kill someone with a satellite via like making the temperature of an area suddenly super hot if that's the kind of thing we're doing now. And I'm like, yeah, it is, because who gives a shit, right? It's fun that you have a big office. God, I'm sorry. I'm getting angry. And that's not... I want to try to have fun. Angel wants to kill the whole cult, which is a good point.
Do it! Angel, Angel, Angel. This is what he looks like shit, but I'm like, let him cook.
Yeah, hold up, let him cook. He, like, everyone's worried, and they're like, you need to rest.
Gunn says we have to tread lightly, to which I put in SpongeBob meme, we have to tread lightly. Shut up, bitch.
Like,
not my Gunn. That's Charles.
That's Charles. I hate, oh god, I get so angry. I recently speaking to someone about what's going on in season 5 with Gunn and how, like, angry I am and how upset, like, the erasure of everything that he was and, like, how deeply racist it is just, like, makes me furious.
Yeah, but then he asks if Angel's okay. I'm like, someone does it at least.
Fucking finally. And
but he's only doing that because he wants to kill them all. Like, no. Mm-hmm. Angel finally said something right.
Yes, and they're like, you must be sick. Go rest. And Wes shoots a little creepy look, very much lending to your theory, like, maybe this is Wes's deal.
Angel says he's just tired, and then I say, and neither Gunn nor Wes, who were both there the last time something was off with a tired Angel, mm-hmm. consider anything wrong with them.
Mm-hmm. And I just argue...
Mm-hmm. Wes with his knowing-ish look.
That stuff and the Gunn stuff, like, I honestly would be more happy if we were playing, like, Gunn is fully subsumed and here are scenes of him apart from the group doing shit we know he'd never do. Because at least that would be, like, dramatically interesting. Like, I'd be like, I know this isn't Gunn. I know this is really fucked up. Like, watching all of them be actually, like, seduced by what Wolfram and Hart has to offer, other than, like, we just see Gunn say some legal jargon and he's like, I love this shit, but I don't really, like, buy it. I'd love to buy that they've all been seduced.
You can't get it because Spike's a series regular now, so that screen time goes to him. We don't even know Lorne's in the episode until in a dream later.
Yeah. Just a bummer. We go to Angel's corporate apartment. Wes is tending to him. Angel's like, I think I'm sick. And I'm like, you're a vampire. You should be setting off alarm bells. You don't get sick. Wes is glad, but Wes is gently saying, you know, I'm really glad that you're coming to terms with it. You know, your irrelevance. And Wes stakes him. And it turns out that was just a nightmare. But what does it have to say about Angel's psyche? He still doesn't trust that bitch.
I'll never trust you, bitch. If the scar was so prominent.
I'm just like, you, like, he didn't do that anymore. Like, now you can't be mad. He's not even that guy anymore.
Angel will never forget.
Yeah,
he will never log off.
He doesn't need to. I'm like, poor Wes doesn't know why Angel's, like, so icy to him.
Remember that time Wes said, I've kidnapped him before, and Angel didn't murder him?
Unreal. Unreal. Never will forget it, ever. And the shot of them together walking down the hallway with Connor smiling good-naturedly and Wes just, like, being like, here we go again. Height of comedy. I miss season 4.
Got it. Cut it. Double it.
You can play it once. So then we cut to Spike fighting, and he's in slow-mo. I write, okay, Trinity, in my notes.
Yeah, he's getting the Angel fight scene slow-mo so Marsters can show off he's doing his stunts. Mm-hmm. He swept that leg. We're all impressed.
I'm
Meanwhile,
impressed.
Boreanaz can't move.
This is
intentionally insulting him.
No, it's so there can be a little action.
But I just know Marsters has talked a lot about doing his own stunts.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, he's, like, very into reminding us all that he did that. All right. Well, I think it is cool to do your own stunts. I'm not going to.
Yeah.
But it's also not, like, necessary. That's why you have stunt people. And they ask the people he saved, go, who are you? And he goes, I'm the hero. So Spike's doing good. He's not at all being manipulated. Then in the Wolfram and Hart lobby, Wes wants Harmony to take something to accounting, and she's like, I'm not allowed to do that without Angel's approval. She is not allowed to do anything without Angel's approval.
I figured it was because of the camel, but no, it's because of something else.
Yeah. Baby girl. But Wes wants a check cut. Eve shows up. I write a sad face in my notes. She's got
Yes.
Some,
mm-hmm. Eve must like have a fucking camera or something at reception. She pops up when everyone's possibly going to go talk to Angel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's spying on them. And she has this old stone with a bunch of runes on it. And the senior partners want it analyzed and figured out ASAP.
Those are Christian Kane runes.
Mm. And anyway, that feels like a hint she shouldn't be giving them then. So Harmony.
Or maybe I'm getting my runes wrong, but I'm pretty sure they're Christian Kane runes.
The sexiest kind. So Harmony wants to tell Angel, but Wes is like, I'll take care of it. He's sleepy.
Yeah. He'll take care of it. No one can go see Angel. Isn't it more interesting when we think, like, there's even a possibility that it's Wes or something? Once it's like, it's Eve.
I do think it's, like, more interesting if it was, like, maybe possibly Wes. Like, but also I just think that has everything to do with the fact that I'd rather watch Alexis Denisov.
Also, like, because her whole, like, look inward. They keep trying to be like, you don't trust any of these people, right? It's like, no, at this point, yeah, we really trust each other completely. Mm-hmm. Like, Angel let Wes back in the fold. Wes doesn't know why he wouldn't be allowed in the fold, but, like, Angel does, and he let him back in.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's just all very muddy and not in like a morally gray, interesting way. Like, I'm Angel stopping everyone from saying morally gray because I would like just something a little more straightforward. Like, I don't know. This is just really murky and not in a way that I think is interesting or artsy. It's like unhelpful and aggravating. Angel is another bad dream that is interrupted by Fred showing up. Just kidding. It's still the bad dream. Suddenly, like, there's some good awful
this is like a dream I have. Jesus.
Oh, yeah. There's good, like, awful dream logic stuff going on. Like, the way that, like, the location suddenly shifts to being the lab, like, I think is really well done by Boreanaz.
Yeah, this... Mm-hmm. And he was, he said in an interview basically that Jeffrey Bell had to kind of like rein him in. It's like, this is an episode of Angel. Like, or just an episode of TV, not like the cinematic thing you're trying to do.
Fair.
He's like trying to make Joe write Anna Karenina, which, like, more power to you. Hell but yeah. Like, you had a budget, but you didn't have that kind of budget.
Yeah, you got to air this on the WB and it's got to be 43 and a half minutes. Fred's putting her gloves on with a big old snap at the wrist because she's about to get down to some business. She wants to look under the hood and she slices him open so Jill can't watch this episode ever. And
but it's hot.
Yeah, it's too sexy for her. And she starts taking out a bunch of his organs. I am reminded of the great moment in Hannibal when this happened, which rolled about 80 times harder. And she confirms that his heart is, in fact, a dried up little walnut.
Aw.
Made me sad. I watched this episode with my AirPods in at my lunch break at work. I wrote in my notes at this point, real bad sounds for my lunch break. Because there's a lot of wet, like, her reaching around in his guts and rearranging stuff. And I was like, eating my mac and cheese.
I accidentally restarted this episode twice, both times during the Spike brunette Tina scene. I'm like, great, I get to hear him say that again.
Oh, congrats to us all. Other things Fred finds inside Angel, a license plate, a full goldfish, which is his soul.
His soul, yeah. The goldfish in the fishbowl, that's his soul.
Cute. The bear takes it from her, which is a guy in a bear suit, not a realistic looking bear. And she says,
yeah, you I can't believe you guys thought it was a real bear. Come on.
Everyone who thought it was a real bear, you're dumb. I'm smart.
How embarrassed are you? You thought that was a real bear.
Yeah, you're probably feeling pretty stupid right now. So she says, you're empty, nothing left, just a shell.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
And then we see that, in fact, Angel is dreaming. We're watching him snooze.
Because Boreanaz does a great bit of business with his directing, mm-hmm. goes through the chest cavity, shroop, and now it's through his eye. Mm-hmm. What? I did say, okay, Boreanaz, go off.
Okay, Fight Club whooms. we
And then I also wrote, more restless sleep. Maybe this episode should have a different title.
Yeah.
Restless sleep.
Great. So then cut to Team Angel. Wes, Gunn, Fred, the classic. There apparently is a vigilante out in these streets.
Also, Wes has Fred looking over the rock because, you know, it's got like bits of Ketia's calcified blood on it. So
I was so confused. I was like, why isn't Wes looking at the rock? It has runes on it. Like, runes feels like a Wes thing, not a science thing.
Maybe he wants you to, like, carbon date it or something. That's a science thing.
Perhaps. So Wes has a little report that he reads aloud, and he says,
"Vigilante reportedly killed two vampires at a gas station and then asked the women he saved if they'd, quote, like to get a bottle of hooch and listen to some Sex Pistols records with him."
So Spike 100% tried to fuck the women he rescued, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Chris is champion.
I wrote hearts next to this. Look, he didn't say we have to fuck, but he's like, you know, you want to grab a couple drinks, listen to some bootleg tapes I have, see where things go.
That's the thing. Spike pretends he's so underground. He bought those cassettes at Walmart. He ain't got bootleg shit.
Yeah, I know. He is bootleg shit.
He calls himself working class later in a dream. I'm like, you're not working class, you fucking faker.
I'm like, what job do you have?
Well, I'm just talking about like how his accent's put upon, remember? Yeah. He was a posh British boy.
Yeah.
He's not working class.
True. We then go to a Spike and Christian Kane scene. Christian Kane got him a place to be, a place to live with everything he needs to be a hero. And apparently it requires a Spartan existence because there's nothing.
He calls it
here.
A ruddy place. I'm like, I wish I had a ruddy place this nice.
Yeah, it looks
it's
nice.
Spacious.
There's a lot of room there.
Yeah.
And then back in Angel's room.
Sorry to keep doing this. But like, you know, Christian Kane saying somewhat of a Spartan existence. And I'm like, not when you live in the Hyperion. Then I'm like, Spike should move into the Hyperion.
I didn't really know, like, feel like a lot of this, if they could have made it take place in the Hyperion, it would have worked better. Like the
surrealness. Yeah, he didn't know about Angel in the Hyperion unless he like just heard from the streets. But like, it would have been very funny if he's like, I have my own hotel now. And I'm like, what now?
Yeah, but they destroyed that set. So
he would have immediately told them about that. Mm-hmm. And they'd be like, dude, you're being fucking punked.
I work in a cool hotel now. You guys wouldn't know anything about it. So then in Angel's room, he has another awful dream where Spike is fucking Buffy in the bed right next to him. And I write in my notes, Sarah Michelle Gellar is right there. They're playing a bunch of like old Buffy dialogue that like really doesn't fit with what
it's
anyone
no
saying.
It's so yeah, we have Spike and Buffy fucking, which I'm like, I had enough of that in season 6. Then prom dialogue, and like, I don't love this or any Buffy related choice they have made this season.
Yeah, it's weird. And
also, god, the wig,
like, it, and
the, you know how Buffy's hair covers her entire face like she's Cousin It?
Yeah, she loves that shit. I just, like, I do like the idea of, like, Spike, he's like, they're talking about prom, and Angel's like, I was taking her to prom, but I write in my notes, imagine being 100 plus and having a stress dream about the prom. Sir. And yeah, like, I get that, like, they're trying to go for the fact that, like, all of these Sarah Michelle Gellar, like, lines of dialogue, like, they don't quite fit, but that's supposed to add to the surrealness, maybe, but it's just not working for me. It's like, that, you can't.
Just leave this woman alone.
Please, let her be in Europe for a minute. And then Angel, you know, wakes up from his dream, and he's all sweaty. He's just like me for real. Then Wolfram and Hart lobby. Angel shows up and he is barefoot and he is here to work. And Fred sees him. He recommends that maybe he go put on a clean shirt. And Gunn, however, is encouraging him. Come on. You're going to miss it. And they lead him into an office. We see that, like, some of the front desk of Wolfram and Hart, like, looks like a concession stand, finally, which I think is, like, appropriately eerie for your dream, where, like, a space kind of, like, morphs into half of another space, which I liked. And suddenly we go in the office, and everyone is eating popcorn and watching the apocalypse out the big windows.
And this is when we learn Lorne is in this episode.
Even Lorne.
Remember him?
Yeah, and they're all watching L.A. burn, and Angel's like, oh, shit, like, I gotta do something. And someone says, don't worry, Spike will take care of it. Uh-oh.
And Lorne points out, of course, Angel's dirty shirt. And now Angel's noticing he's got something on it.
Uh-oh. Yeah, everyone keeps being like, you got something on your shirt, dude. Like, and he's...
And they're not doing the little trick where they say, you got something on your shirt, and then they hit your nose.
I wish someone would do it. Spike should have done that as he was fucking Buffy. You got something on your shirt.
He had a pop collar while he's doing it.
Then in Angel's bed, we finally see there is this sucky thing on his chest. It's a little gross guy, and it's, like, slurping right under his peck.
A little sucker.
Mm-hmm.
There's, like, I think there was, like, a puppet one, and then there was, like, an animatronic one that was, like, $35,000. And Boreanaz just wanted to use like just the puppet one more, but like they're like, we have to use the animatronic one. It costs $35,000.
Yeah, like you get your use out of that.
He's like, I wouldn't have used it at all if it didn't cost that much.
Then in another dream, everyone, Team Angel got a cake for Spike, and we're yelling, speech, speech, speech.
They're like, all in their, they're all in their Jasmine bag right now. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Spike ended the apocalypse and also all problems. And it's time for his reward. And a blue fairy lady shows up.
A fairy who looks like Jemma Mays. It's not Jemma Mays, but she looks like her.
It does look like Jemma Mays. Like Jemma Mays who got like Veruca assaulted. Because she's all blue. This scene, like, I want to love this. Like, everyone's being goofy and kind of doing, like, the Jasmine thing. But, like,
it should be the whole episode.
Yeah, it just doesn't. Like the dreams feel long enough to be impactful to me.
The Spike Christian Kane stuff should be in a different episode. Mm-hmm. Possibly one where whatever Gunn and Wesley were fighting over is also a plot, like an actual plot.
Yeah.
And then like the dream stuff should be its own episode.
Yeah. It feels like way too slight to have an impact.
You do the Spike stuff and whatever Gunn and Wes's thing was, again, I don't care. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And then the next episode, because then you also have Christian Kane and Spike's relationship. Mm-hmm. So when he saves Angel. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the next episode would be all the dreams. That's how I would break the story if I were running the show.
And I would like that show better.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So the fairy comes and makes Spike a real boy. He's human now. He has a heartbeat. Everyone listens to it. And they even do a hip hip hooray for him.
And then poor little Angel. He's got his short sleeve button down, which is always the saddest thing in the goddamn world.
Oh, gosh.
And a tie. Yeah. And he is pushing the mail.
Dang. So then at Spike's place, Wes and Gunn show up. And they're like, what's the deal? Why leave us to save people? That's kind of our whole thing.
How dare you go save people, basically. Which, They said fighting the good fight, that's our territory. I'm like, okay, shut up. But then they say they're wondering why he left.
Yeah.
Because they have the resources. And then Spike calls them out. They're basically hedging their bets. It's like, let's have both possible champions in-house, which, come on.
Mm-hmm. I really want to include Spike's whole speech because I do think it's actually, like, pretty good. He says,
look, I told Angel, and I'll tell you, place like that doesn't change. Not from the inside, not from the out. Sign on there, it changes you. Puts things in your head. Spins your compass needle around till you can't cross the street without tripping the proverbial old lady and stepping on her glasses.
It just sucks that, like, Spike is so clear-headed about this and yet, like, can't think for even a second that he might be being punked here. And obviously, you know, he's hearing what he wants to hear, which is that he's the good guy and he's the one everyone's been waiting for. So like not Lindsay's plan is working because Spike wants this. But it's just so weird to hear Spike giving our people like the advice that they should be listening to. But then also in the very same episode, like calling the woman he saves a slur and all of this stuff. It's just like it again, that's the 50-50 of this episode. Like he feels like a different character in both halves of this. And I'm confused. And it's not that a character can't be wrong and right within the same episode, but like, it's just not cohering for me.
The thing that that's bumping for me is that, like, again, Spike is, you know, the tell it like it is. He gets to, like, cuts to the BS, tells the truth thing. But the telling it like it is in this instance with Team Angel is something they can and should be able to figure out themselves. Mm-hmm. It's like, again, you can't, despite the fact that they continue to just try this, you can't use him for the same purposes you used him for Buffy season 4, mm-hmm. because these characters are like more mature and like have experienced so much mm-hmm. like different situations that like Spike's not telling them anything new. Yeah. Like they should, like, it shouldn't be a revelation when he's saying like basically, from within you, it devours. Yeah. Like, this is something they realized from when they were being recruited in the first place. Just because they've seemingly forgotten doesn't mean, like, they didn't know that. Like, he's not telling them anything new.
Yeah, it just, like...
So it's like you have Spike constantly telling them, here's the thing, like, they know the thing, or at least they knew the thing.
Like, they should know that thing.
Prior to having to not know the thing for this to work at all.
Yeah, and so Gunn is, his argument is that there's more nuance here, you know, and that we do a lot of good. And I write in my notes, why not let me, the viewer, see the good? Spike realizes they're here offering like a gig to him behind Angel's back, and he's like, very naughty. Mm-hmm.
He also points out how like a place like that puts stuff in your head. Cut to Gunn, of course.
Just a bummer, fucking bummer. Like, we're just going the exact. I feel like we're just doing the exact wrong amount of storytelling with what's going on with Gunn, like. He doesn't seem to be in any way trying to grapple with it or be self-critical about it at all.
And which... none of his friends are, which really, after like the initial like reveal, like no one's cared.
Yeah, which is absolutely bananas to me and is like infuriating. Like I find it, like I find this whole status quo just like... very upsetting. And I do know that that's the aim. Like, it's supposed to be like, you are in the belly of the beast with our friends and something isn't quite right. And doesn't that not feel okay? And I'm like, it does, but like, nothing is advancing or progressing. Like, I'm just in the same situation every single week and I'm waiting for us to move forward and through it, and I just don't feel that we are, and I'm bored. Our next scene is a Eve and Television's Christian Kane scene.
Here's where I get to be mean about Eve again.
Can I briefly write my description for this scene before you start?
Let's see if it's exactly the same as mine.
I said, this scene is a Gossip Girl phone call, but in person with kissing.
That's all their scenes. My criticism of this is that their dynamic truly makes it seem like she's the chick who got an older boyfriend, and she thinks he's the coolest, and he thinks nothing of her. He's like, yeah, I'll call you later. Sure, totally.
Oh, yeah.
That's their dynamic in the scene. And like, I also wrote, in order to have exposition here and in their scene, she has to be a horny ditz while he's the serious plan maker. She says she thinks his symbols are sexy. He says, you can think that, you know, whatever you want after we finish our project. Like, he's gonna dump her, like, as soon as he's done.
Yeah, it does not appear that he is enjoying his time with her very much.
Understandable, neither are we.
But he is assuring her that everyone's assuring each other it's all going according to plan.
Oh, also, Eve update. She stopped calling everyone kids in every scene now. I guess they figured that didn't work.
Okay, congrats to the writers of Angel.
all this is forgiven.
I write in my notes, Eve wants to make out relatable, but, you know,
Christian Kane does not.
Business. The plan is to build Spike up and to tear Angel down, convincing the senior partners that they are backing the wrong horse. We also learn that the Tats keep Television's Christian Kane from being noticed by Wolfram and Hart, to which I write in my notes, hot and functional. then we get a line of dialogue that I just want to say out loud with no prank element. Good girls always get what they want. Can you guess who my fuck watch is?
But yeah, she's going on about his hot tattoos and everything, and she's trying to like be, I don't know what she's trying to be, sexy? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're doing what she's trying to be visually.
I'm doing, like, I'm kind of like rocking my shoulders back and forth. It's very silly,
she's,
guys.
She's doing Fat Joe's lean back, but sexily. but yeah, he says that if the future partners find out, he's as good as dead. Like, he's like being super serious, and she's like, I'm just a horny little girl.
Teach me how to understand plans. They make out.
Oh yeah. And so I'm sorry. She calls his tattoos pretty pictures, and I'm like, don't call them that ever again.
Like I'm
you child.
That does not make me feel good. And this scene ends with Eve stroking a box to it, and then I write in parentheses, not a euphemism, in my notes.
There was someone staring at the box, and then her stroking the box,
and I kept being like, euphemism. So then with Team Angel. Spike, like they're like, oh, Spike thinks we're all sellouts, but we're changing the system from the inside. And Gunn goes, God, hearing that aloud, parentheses in your woman voice makes it sound pretty naive, huh? I hate it.
Back to back in your woman voice scenes, basically.
It is just rough.
But also I'm guessing... Christian Kane and Eve's plan didn't involve the rest of the team questioning like their part in all of this, basically.
I don't think
they thought at all about like what Gunn and company were thinking if they talked to Spike and feeling shit about themselves.
Yeah, they probably like he probably should have gaslit Spike more into being like, you can't trust them because they're evil.
Especially the girl one. No, not the girl one.
If you like her, you're wrong. So they agree they won't tell Angel. Angel, who no one's heard from. Fred goes to Harmony and is like, call Angel.
She goes to her best friend, Harmony. Besties are back together.
Reading a magazine at her desk.
Harmony being like, oh, act like we care. Good plan. And I'm like, best friends.
That's my girl. Honestly, like I love her. You know what? Like, fuck these people. Fuck this place. Get your health insurance and your dental and get your money. I'm sure they have 401k options and get out of there.
Yeah. Then Thelma and Louise your way out of here with Fred.
Yes. Then in Angel's room, he's sleeping. Then inside his brain, in another dream, he's in his bed, and who is next to him but Lorne in a little mustache and a old timey vest. And he says everyone calls him Honky Tonk.
We should start calling Lorne Honky Tonk.
And he even does a p-tick, and then we hear the spit like ring in a little like metal spittoon because this is
lovely.
Supposed to be some Old West shit. I don't.
And Riley Finn is nowhere to be found.
Like, I'm cowboy guy. Like, I was thinking about Restless and just thinking about like all the visual flourishes that are going on, and also the fact that like the way Joss Whedon very smartly scripted that episode to like reflect the way those sets are built and flow one right into the other, which was like a low budget way of experiencing like a really surreal thing. And the fact that we go to the desert in that sequence and that we have the black and white Spike stuff, like there's just so much that feels like elevated and weird and dreamlike. And unfortunately, like, this dream stuff to me all feels like really low budget and not compelling.
Not an insult to him, but this is not, based on what like the premise is and everything, this is not the episode you give your script coordinator.
Yeah, I agree.
That was like, that's just asking like for bad things to happen.
That, but I also would just say like
If you gave Restless to a script coordinator.
Oh yeah, that would be like very hard, and I would even argue just like that. I don't even know if like that is the criticisms I make, because like all of the problems this episode has are problems this whole season has had.
Yeah, but also even Brent's name was on this, but how much of this was rewritten by Joss?
I'm sure a lot. Fred, I love Harmony's outfit. She is in her Malibu
Barbie.
She's
the Chiquita Banana mascot.
I'm obsessed with her. She's hanging out with Lauren. They're in very incongruous outfits, but I love it. I love to think about the two of them at some theme party where both those outfits make sense. I'm obsessed. We stan. Fred is like... Fred and Gunn and Wes are like sitting in a booth heckling.
We skipped Fred about to check in. Yeah, because just as she's about to actually go check in on Angel, that's when Eve swoops in. And this is where I wonder, does Angel have a different access way to his penthouse? because she's going to check on Angel, but she doesn't go to his office. Mm-hmm. She goes like toward like where the elevators are.
Yeah.
And that's where Eve cuts her off. And considering Eve keeps going back, like she was able to sneak in and like Harmony would have known she was going in.
Yeah.
Like she had to have gone like a different way, right?
I would assume. Like, I mean, I, you know, like we don't know the layout. We don't know how many ways if there are into Angel's apartment.
Because the whole point is that no one's going in to Angel's place, but like she's clearly got into Angel's place.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have been through Harmony because she's keeping people from going to see him.
Yeah. It's just, again, not, things are not really tracking.
Eve decides that the rock needs to be figured out now.
Yeah. And it's like, Fred, go do the rock thing. Then we go
back to bad things are going to happen to me. Then Fred should have been like, okay, cool. Never mind then.
Cool. I'm definitely going
Where's
to see
Gun
Angel
to
now?
Choke her again?
Please. Then we go back to the piano dream. This is where Harmony is Malibu Barbieing. And I write in my notes, let's hear something from the public domain, because old Honky Tonk himself is plucking out, oh my darling, oh my darling, oh my darling Clementine, out on his little player piano. And Angel's like, I don't know what to do here. He's very at sea, which is fair. And Lauren is like, well, if you're all fucked up, I'm happy to listen to you sing. But it's a nightmare. So when the spotlight shines bright on him, he can't make a sound.
So do they just use the audio from Willow and Nightmares?
Again, I just kept feeling like, okay, so we're just kind of like going, rummaging in the old bag of tricks for this one. Not that, you know, it's hard to make 12 seasons of something and never repeat yourself. So, you know, I'm not trying to be the world's biggest stickler on this, but like, it just does feel like a lot of stuff we've already seen before and done less well. You know, Fred and Gunn and Wes are watching from the corner and they're pissed. I love Gunn's big cat eyes. That is very unsettling.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was like, well done. And Eve says,
maybe Angel
thing.
Should think about that. Like, is Gunn okay?
Yeah.
He was one of your friends who wasn't like himself. He was like possessed by the big cat from the White Room.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe focus on that too. Not just the heckling.
Just kind of like doesn't seem like he cares about his friends. And it doesn't seem like his friends care about him. Like, it's mutual. Like, no one cares about anyone anymore. Which kind of leads me to believe, why should I care? So then Eve calls and says, poor thing. And Angel finally rips off the sucky guy. No more of him. In Angel's room, in real life, Eve is there and is like, this is a dream. You're dreaming. It's almost over, though. You're dreaming. And she opens her box, not a euphemism, and takes out an even bigger sucky guy.
I do wonder, the way it's set up, obviously, Christian Kane sends Spike to save the day. Was Eve actually in on that plan? Because they wanted to replace Angel with Spike anyway. And no, if he kept the sucker stayed on him, he'd be in a vegetative state forever. Mm-hmm. So
I honestly have no clue.
I don't imagine that he's actually telling her his full plan.
Yeah. Look, if I had a plan, I certainly wouldn't let Eve know everything about it. Then in Spike's place, Spike, you know, he's coming home with beers and, you know, television's Christian Kane is there.
I'm going to go back one more time. I'm so sorry.
No,
yeah. So she puts the big sucker thing on. And with that, it is fuck watch time. Flirting, understanding, consent, and kissing. Flirting, understanding, consent, and kissing. Fuck watch.
Hey, Latoya. Who are you fucking?
Fucking Fred. Like, did you see her in this episode? Oh, Jesus Christ. That red top, auga. She was looking good in this episode.
She absolutely was. And I deeply respect your choice. But I will be fucking television's Christian Kane.
I couldn't tell.
Because I'm a good girl.
Also, I don't think... I haven't fucked Fred this season, right?
I don't think you have.
Not yet? Okay, good.
Yeah. Hell yeah. That's fuck watch, baby. So then in Spike's place, Spike, you know, comes back from wherever with beers, and television's Christian Kane is in his house. Oh no, Doyle's having a vision because he's going, so I
after
know
he does like a little smile that I'm like, wow, Jared Padalecki just like cribbed that from Christian Kane. Like he's just like
yeah, classic.
It's just like a squinty smile, like it's not like a real smile, but like a little. I love it.
Then
the fake vision. My head,
owie. Then in Angel's room, Angel's crawl into his phone, but Big Sucky strikes again. Because I don't know what else to call this thing. I know we say its name at the end, but I didn't know its name for the whole thing, so I had to write Big Sucky in my notes. I apologize.
You had to write that.
I did. Then in the dream, Angel is in a Lazy Boy in the meadow. This is a scene where Fred is also looking good. She's got her
curly
hair going
on. She looks amazing this whole
on.
Episode, and you didn't choose her? You fool.
Yeah, sorry that I chose sexy tattoo-covered Christian Kane. I'm so foolish.
Fred might have some tattoos hiding. You don't know. I'm going to find out.
I'm sure they're regarding the chicks. So friends say, you know, like his friends are all in beige and they say, you can stay here forever in your Lazy Boy in the middle of a meadow. It's fine. The fighting's over. Spike can do it all. And then Fred throws back her head in a primal screech.
That's what she does all the time. That was normal.
Which was very normal to all of us. And we match cut to what is currently screeching is the Big Sucky on Angel's chest, which is being ripped off and thrown against the wall by Spike. And Spike's like, you're fucking welcome. Just helping the helpless, which is kind of what I fucking do now.
And, I mean, he's unwell, so it's, I guess it makes sense he's not reacting to the fact that the dude just said, just helping the helpless.
Yeah. Rude.
What if Spike one day finds like an Angel Investigations business card and sees that, like, wait, Doyle said that was a thing I should be saying?
What? Yeah, it's almost like if all these people talked, we'd be saved a lot of problems. So then later, still at Angel's corporate apartment, Wes explains that the sucky thing is a Selminth parasite that makes you hallucinate, and had it stayed on forever, he would have been in a vegetative state. And
Eve is, of course, with them as they're debriefing, because obviously it's for her to be the finger to be pointed at her. But like, why would he want her around during this moment?
Yeah, very unclear, because like they're like, how did it get here? And Angel looks at Eve and he says, you. He remembers it. And at first it seems like no one believes him. He, you know, remembers the conversation they had when she was like, you're dreaming.
I'm a ghost.
Could a not ghost do this? So he remembers all that stuff, but everyone's kind of skeptical, but he's like, you changed your clothes. And then Fred's like, oh, okay. Yeah, you did change your clothes. And
she also, because Angel points out the earrings, mm-hmm. like, that she didn't change. And Fred's also like, yeah, I've never seen those earrings. Like, no, it should have been Harmony pointing out, like, Harmony should be in the scene pointing out the earrings thing.
Yeah, I was like, I'm sorry, but I do not believe Fred is cataloging She's the girl one. Earrings. So they're like, you changed your clothes, but you didn't change your earrings. And she's like, well, they're new earrings. And Fred's like, I've never seen those before. Ha! Caught in a lie. And Angel's like, you can't be working for the senior partners. They gave me this law firm. They don't want me to be in a coma. So, like, what would they think about you doing this?
And he was like, I can't believe you would, like, say that about me. You must, like, be, like, so deluded to think that about me. And she's, like, backing away into the elevator.
She's running away.
They, all they have to do is, like, send Gunn up to the white room and, like, tell them about that. And, like, it's done. Like, because this, nothing's resolved. And so she's like, let me put the finger at you. And I actually think it's funny that you guys think it's me when it's totally one of you.
Yeah. which actually is pretty funny of her. She like hops in the elevator. She's running away and she's like, maybe you should look in the mirror unless you're trying not to because you don't like what you see. Brick wall, waterfall. Girl, you think you know it all, but you don't. And I do. So boom, with that attitude, peace, punch, Captain Crunch. I got something you can't touch. Bang, bang, choo-choo train. Wind me up, I do my thing. No Reese's Pieces. Seven up. Mess with me, I'll mess you up, says Eve.
I've never heard that before in my entire life.
Oh, it was like very like cool to say when you were 11 for me. And it's truly like
cool to say now.
Eve would say this.
Yeah, that is very Eve. That's why I let it keep going. I'm like, this is what Eve would say.
Right. And it feels so Eve.
She leaves our team behind with the green screen halo around Boreanaz in the foreground.
Yeah.
Not the best thing in this moment.
Not my favorite of the shots that we've had in this episode.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're left to, you know, I'm sure all of Team Angel's like, thinking about their complicity.
Pointing the finger only works, like, with Spike, because they still have no idea how he figured out Angel was in danger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they should talk to Spike.
Hey, how'd you know Angel was in danger? Oh, my friend Doyle.
Yeah. Everything solved. And like, yeah, that does tend to be a huge pet peeve of mine. Like, if everyone would talk, it would be solved. And they're really not doing a good job of dramatizing why they aren't talking to each other.
Spike, despite everything he says about Wolfram and Hart, like, he has no problem talking to Fred.
Yeah.
You would assume.
Yeah. And he honestly didn't seem to have a problem talking to Wes and Gunn. He was just like, I don't want to work for you, and I think the place you work at is fucked up. But he, like, still likes Gunn, I think.
Didn't he offer them beers when they showed up?
I believe he did. Like, I am just confused, and we now must abide by Vampire Diaries rules, where if you have not seen someone be told something, they do not know it. And that's not where I was hoping to be with our friends.
That's how the Doyle thing even works at all.
Yeah, it just, I don't know. Like, and I know we're supposed to believe, like, stuff like this slips through the cracks because they've all been morally compromised by their time at Wolfram and Hart, but I just don't feel that that's been dramatized well. And, you know, you can dramatize it well. Well, I don't know. That's me on the app. I wish I had more nice things to say. I have nice things to say about television's Christian Kane, who's looking like a dang-ass snack in this episode.
Watch Leverage. He's a real snack of Leverage. He's kicking ass.
Mm-hmm.
He wears glasses, too, like especially in the first season.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Because he's a killer, but he doesn't like to kill. But he'll do it if he has to.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. I'm so worried about him.
You should be.
Well, LaToya, any closing thoughts on this one before we throw to plugs?
What can I say without people saying I hate the show?
Yeah. But you really liked a lot of the work that David Boreanaz was doing here. And, like, we loved how hot Fred was. So, like, all of those are positive things.
Just 10 out of 10 for Fred.
Yeah. Looking real nice.
You see those getaway sticks on her?
Yeah, the gams on this dame. Forget about it.
See that, kids? I'm going to say kids now, like Eve did.
Yes.
That's what people like, right?
Well,
that's how you get
kids.
Christian Kane.
Yeah. Hey, if I'll try anything once. Well, kids, that's pretty much it for us today. But if you would like to follow our podcast on socials, we're at Angel on Top Cast on both Twitter and Instagram. If you go to angelontop.com, you can have access to ad-free episodes as well as bonus content, such as like live watches, which we try to do as often as we can, and the Cole Turner cast.
We've got new jobs, so now our schedules are all in whack.
Yeah, so it might be a little bit before we get those off the ground again, but we, like, are going to be trying. And
we got to watch some more Lindsay episodes.
Oh, hell yeah. I need to get back. I need to have some more Lindsay in my life. Lindsay, that's for sure, Lindsay. And you'll also get the Cole Turner cast, which is us talking about Charmed and the main character of Charmed, Cole Turner, LaToya at my aforementioned new job. Somehow Charmed came up and my coworker said, I love Charmed. And I was like laughing because I'd already told them I had two podcasts. And I was like, I'm sorry, I have another podcast and it's about Charmed. And they were delighted. And I said, it's just the Cole episodes. And she was like, he's the best character.
Everyone knows.
So you should know, too. If you want to follow me on socials, you can do so at Lorgan Mudich. LaToya, where can the people follow you and should they?
At LaFerrix on Twitter, don't be weird. I have to keep saying that because people keep being weird.
Dude.
See if you're being weird at Angel on Top cast too. So
yes, I do. Yeah, I do also see if you're being weird there. And just please be normal on socials. The Twitter especially is bad enough right now.
Just a reminder, I feel in general, despite us hosting spoiler-free podcasts, like I know people get like enthusiastic and excited about the shows, but like try not to do spoilers because we are spoiler free. And just because we've seen these episodes doesn't mean people who could possibly be reading the tweets have seen the episodes.
Yeah, if you want to have spoiler-filled discussions, a great place for that is our Discord, which is available if you're a patron. We have channels for every single season of Angel. Our season 5 channel is completely full of spoilers, and everybody is talking about their opinions on the season as a whole there, and it's really interesting and nice. So if you're looking for a space to do that, you can do that there. But there are people who watch with us from week to week, so it is helpful if you don't spoil them. Thank you. But until next time, you are now leaving Wolfram and Hart. And no, we do not validate.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.